Coming up on show 835 today, Rivian lands another blockbuster investment. Who from and how much? We'll let you know on the podcast today. Plus, more battery news, both factories being built and tie-ups with car makers. The German-built Model Y is going to be a revolution, so says Elon. And talking of Tesla, could be poised to have another big jump in their fortunes as they head towards the S&P 500. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. This is what happened on Friday, 10th of June. My name is Martin Lee, going through every EV story so you don't have to. So that battery news I mentioned at the start of the show, then let's kick off with this story. SK Innovation, the Korean company SKI, or SK Innovation as you might hear it's called, has started construction of its second lithium-ion battery cell factory in the United States, and it's designed for 11.7 gigawatt hours of batteries, well, of cells, annually. Now, it's not going to be open till 2023, but it's another big piece of news. It's one of just so many battery and cell factory production facilities either in the construction phase or about to begin construction. The first one, their first one, which was 9.8 gigawatt hours at the same site in Commerce in Jackson County in Georgia, well, that's been under construction for about 15 months now, and that enters production in 2022. Of course, the combined output of those two factories alone, 21.5 gigawatt hours annually, says Inside EVs. Well, SK Innovation intends to reach a manufacturing capacity far, far beyond where they'll get to in the next couple of years. They want to be making EV batteries of 100 gigawatt hours a year. And we know that they'll be supplying Volkswagen's models on their platform, the MEB platform. So the ID4, which is probably going to be the first one that goes to the US because the ID3 won't be, yeah, that's going to have those cells inside. According to an article on The Elec, another big customer of SK Innovation is Ford. Well, might be Ford, actually. And they could be using the SKI cells in their all-electric pickup, whatever they choose to call that, the Ford F-150E or something. And Ford also do have a contract with LG Chem to use their cells in their EVs as well. And from battery companies to car makers joining up with cell makers, Honda has taken a stake in CATL. A 1% stake as the companies seek to... Honda definitely needs a very stable supply of battery cells, and they need closer cooperation in the areas of development and research and things like recycling and second life. But that's all icing on the cake, really. What they need is a solid, consistent supply of cells and batteries. According to Electrive, the move comes at a time when car makers increasingly turn to CATL to secure cell supply for electric upcoming models. Now, you would think that these deals would have been locked in 5 years ago, but it doesn't seem to be the case. Now, you and I have known that EVs have been on the way for a very long time. We've known that 2020 was going to be a landmark year for electric cars and so many hitting the market. And there's a real appetite out there at the moment. And we can see that from Google searches. We just see that from anecdotally. I bet more people are talking to you because I know that you're interested in EVs. I bet more people are talking to you about them. And so for car makers to now be turning around and being like, you know what, we should probably get some cells. Great. Welcome to 2015. That's how far ahead you've got to work with supply contracts and these kind of things. It's good they're doing it, but it's late. Anyway, good news that Honda and CATL working together, especially for the Chinese market as well. Honda, in its latest press release, expects CATL to provide a stable supply of batteries for the NEVs, new energy vehicles, NEVs, and mainly for any pure battery electric cars that Honda makes for the Chinese market. Headline story today, then, the EV maker startup Rivian, I must point out, still yet to make a single R1T or R1S that's in customers' hands, is once again the darling of the EV world, unless you count the silly rise in Tesla's share price over the last few days. But Rivian is backed by Amazon, it's backed by Ford, and they want to put an electric pickup and an SUV into production, both in 2021, based on the same car, really, but the R1S for SUV, the R1T for truck. They boosted their fortunes with another $2.5 billion of investment. And Rivian said today, and according to Autoblog, the deal comes hot on the heels of Tesla's meteoric rise in stock valuation over the last few days, last couple of weeks as well, and the recent public offering of Nikola, which does seem to be soaking up a lot of the excitement. I'm not going to say gold rush around EVs at the moment. I have seen the share price of Tesla, and when a company's price shoots up that fast, it's either because people are suddenly realizing that this company exists, well, it can't be that, or there's something on the horizon, or just it's just hot. And, you know, as far as in my tiny, tiny understanding of how you value a company, nothing fundamental has changed in the last 3 or 4 days. Some people will say, well, yeah, others are catching on to the things that we've always known about electric cars. But there is an element of it's running away at the moment. And you know, I get there's things like the short sellers and short squeezes. And I fundamentally don't want to get involved with all of that side of the game. The games of bulls and bears and all, it doesn't interest me really. But Nikola is a company that is definitely riding on that wave at the moment, that little gold rush like I mentioned, and a company that's yet to make a single vehicle, let alone, you know, a body in white or a prototype or, you know, that's on the road and driving around that people can see. It's just not happening. But that doesn't stop people ploughing money into something. Good luck to them. I say, my pension will be going nowhere near that company. But good luck to anyone that's going to be making an EV. And Nikola wants to make electric pickup trucks. It's the Badger, isn't it? I don't really talk about it on the podcast because I just find the whole thing ridiculous. It's a picture on a screen. It doesn't exist. And people are going loopy for it. Well, the new round of fundraising from Rivian takes total investment to $6 billion, at least $6 billion. Including a $1.3 billion round last year with Amazon, Ford and BlackRock. The investors in that. I'll pop a link to Autoblog in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Now, Elon, ever the showman, ever the salesman online, he has been hyping the upcoming German-built Tesla Model Y, which is still a year away, but 12 months is going to come around pretty quickly. Now, Elon claims it's going to be a revolution, and I quote, a revolution in automotive body engineering, end quote. According to Electrek, Elon's talked before about Tesla building the most advanced paint shop at Gigafactory Berlin in order to release new multi-layered paint options for Model Y here in Europe. Now, Elon is teasing a revolution in automotive body engineering with the Model Y produced in Germany. He wrote on Twitter today, Berlin Model Y is the one to watch. One of the comments I thought was interesting on that article said that most automakers divide a structure of a car or a vehicle. Most automakers divide the structure into multiple parts, not necessarily because they can't stamp or cast a larger part. This isn't something that's never been done in the world before that Tesla has suddenly realized and invented a way to do. It could. But because lots of car makers use different alloys for each piece of a structure, many of the aluminium unibodies that are supposedly aluminium unibodies actually have steel pieces, like door sills and B-pillars that join them together. So the problem with a too large of a cast is it forces you to use a single alloy for the entire piece. And that isn't always optimal for weight, isn't always optimal for cost. And so, again, you know, I see a lot of stuff online from the hardcore, you know, from saying, oh my goodness me, Elon's such a genius, he's worked this out and no one's been able to do it before. Well, you know, there's plenty of great engineering companies in the world, but maybe they've just worked out a way that works for them, which is different and is still important because if they can make cars profitable at a good price that are safe, and we know that Tesla rates safety above everything else, then they've achieved something that the others haven't managed to do. And that does deserve praise. Well, Tesla also appears on the verge of joining the S&P 500, a major accomplishment for the team at Tesla, and could well unleash a flood of new demand for Tesla's shares, which have already surged over 500% in a year. Says Reuters, well, higher than expected second quarter vehicle deliveries, which were recently announced, have got the analysts increasingly confident the company will show a profit, even if it's a dollar, in its quarterly report. That comes out July 22nd, and that would mark Tesla's first cumulative four-quarter profit. That's a key hurdle. And once they do that, that's another hurdle overcome to achieve status and listing on the S&P 500. They still have to be, as far as I understand, voted on. I mean, there probably wouldn't be anyone that didn't want them on, but it's not like it's an automatic thing that happens. There still has to be a process, and they still, you know, there's still a panel of people still need to decide to include Tesla on the S&P 500. With a market capitalization of about $250 billion at the moment, Tesla would be instantly amongst the most valuable companies ever added to the 500, larger than 95% of that index's existing components. It would have a major impact on investment funds because many of them track the index, and so they'd end up buying Tesla just because they track those companies in the 500. And yeah, I mentioned a moment ago, Tesla have announced the Q2 earnings call. I always enjoy these. It's always interesting to hear in their own words what they have to say. And, you know, you do pick up little things, little hints that are dropped, tone of voice, things like that. We've heard them before where Elon's just been interesting, dejected and upset about things. And even though he's, you know, when you read the transcript on paper, it all looks fine. But when you actually listen to the way he said it, and you could tell this was early doors Model 3. This was the ramp of Model 3. Under so much pressure, and it came across, and it was just always a nice little indicator on how hard things are or how easy they're finding it. Well, Tesla's posting its financial results after the market closes on Wednesday, July 22nd, and then at 2:30 Pacific or 5:30 Eastern, there's the earnings call via the webcast, as always, plus 5 hours to my time. Then I've got to listen to it, then edit it and put a show out. It's normally one that goes out about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning for me. I find it interesting though. Well, finally, Massachusetts took a big step forward recently, including non-profits and business fleets in the state's EV incentives, which until now hadn't included non-profit organisations and business fleets. Well, this new move helps to maximise the environmental impact of the programme during a time where the economy has slowed statewide vehicle sales. Along with those sales, progress towards the state's carbon emissions goals has also slowed, writes Clean Technica. Now, they say that the MOREV, which is the name of the scheme, the incentives that are applied, it previously provided rebates of up to $2,500 to consumers if they bought a new EV. In 2019, the rebates were lowered to $1,500 because of the budget running low, and that caused EV demand to slow up. Now, by mid-2019, the program was completely suspended, but now they're expanding the rebates, the incentives, and increasing it as well. So good news. Massachusetts, well done for helping to push and incentivize EVs. Hey, by the way, you can get in contact about anything I talk about on this program. I'd always love to know where you listen as well. I can see on the stats the people, thousands of people listen around the day, every single day all around the world. But I'd like to know where. Like, where are you? All it says on my stats screen is, you know, US or Japan or Europe. The European countries are pretty granular. I'd love to know more. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, or you can leave a comment on the YouTube show. Thank you, as always, to those who choose to support the show on Patreon. I really appreciate it. They're always busy times here. I could do with about a 28-hour day, and I'd probably split that between working and sleeping. Neither of which I get enough time to do. But I do know I have a very big commitment to those that support on Patreon, and I try and get this program out as soon as I possibly can. Thank you very much to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, who's been filling me in on the state of solar. EF.energy is their website. Big commercial solar projects here in the UK, and Phil's been filling me in on the state of things, and always very interesting to catch up and pick his brains on things. Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Brightsmith Group for clean tech talent, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. And brand new, now, welcome to the gang, nationalcarcharging.com, and their Hawaiian partner, AlohaCharge.com. Have a wonderful day. Catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.